Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Review. Sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service of public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the economic bubble when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's down to 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, but then we import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply here in America is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. Now, all of this globalization may be good for business, but globalization is not good for you, and it's not good for me. I can remember back in 1940 that we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year. Today, we have a three-day food supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a one-year food supply for 3 days. Does that strike you as being very wise? And these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so they tell us out of the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause, but let's you and I live for ours. Now, let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. Keep in mind that my subsistence and survival school is also available. It's on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for the General Law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about the core rate, and we took a look at inflation and how we're being lied to and deceived over the inflation rate, and how our jobs, how American industry has been dismantled over the last 40 years. Not by accident, it's a design, it's a plan. It's called Global 2000. It's a new world order, spoken of by President Bush Sr. and President Bush Jr. numerous times. They talked about this new world order and the Global 2000 program. Now, that may be good for business, but I contend that it's bad for you and it's bad for me, because the deindustrialization of America means that we have shipped our jobs. Companies that for, 100 years or more were producing. I remember the Stanley Company up in Connecticut. Stanley, they make tools. And they had to move their operation offshore. And certain congressmen and senators said that they were unpatriotic. But I can remember going over to my local hardware store, and I looked at a Stanley tape measure, which was $8. Stanley tape measure, $8, 25-foot contractor's tape measure. And then right next to it, they've got tapes for $3 made in China. Look, just about the same, different color, plastic case. Now, how in the hell can Stanley compete by selling tapes, by paying $10, $15, $20 an hour to their workers in Connecticut, selling their tapes for $8, and then right next to their tape in the same hardware store is a tape made in China, which is being retailed in the United States for $3. Now, that's what's going on, and that's why you're losing your jobs. That's why General Motors is going to terminate 25,000 jobs this year. And those 25,000 jobs are going to eliminate another 150,000 jobs. Because every one of those final end jobs, the job of putting the car together, there had to be people making the bumpers and people that were making the other parts. And General Motors is moving their Buick plant to China. They're gonna continue making Buick automobiles, but they're going to make them in China, where they're paying, 50 cents an hour for labor instead of $20 an hour or 30 or whatever they're paying in Detroit. And that's where reality's at, boys and girls. So it's time to grow up and get real. So we're talking about, what are you going to do about that? I mean, if you're an auto assembly worker in Detroit and you're going to lose your job and you got a house and a mortgage to pay and you're a truck driver and maybe you're a housewife or whatever it is, life goes on. The economy collapsed in Argentina, but the Argentines didn't all die. Life goes on. Employment went from, or unemployment, I should say, went from about 8 or 10% to 60%. I saw some numbers down there that just boggled the mind. 62% rate of unemployment in Argentina last year. 62%. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is, I guess, 38% of people are employed. But there's a lot of wealth transfer when events like that transfer, when they transpire, I should say. And it's about to transpire here in the United States. We're entering the first stages of hyperinflation. The real inflation rate's 12%. I showed you in program one and two that you're being lied to. We have a thing here called the core rate. Jim Puplava pointed out that that core rate over there is as phony as a $3 Fed note. Then we took a look, and I said, well, why don't you get Kurt Reichbacher's paper, his treatise, and get Puplava's treatise, and inform yourself as to what these conservative economists are telling us about our economy. You're not getting that information over ABC and CBS. Now here's a third one. If you've got your paper out there, boys and girls, sharpen your pencil now on both ends and listen to this. Here's Bill Bonner. Bill Bonner writes The Daily Reckoning. The Daily Reckoning is on Kitco. So here's what you do. You go over here to kitco.com and you click on, and you're looking for Fin Debubble, FinDeBubble, by Bill Bonner, June 27th, 05. You can probably get the same treatise right off the dailyreckoning.com. There's just one word, dailyreckoning.com, dailyreckoning.com. Now get your pen and paper out here, and let's run through this housing bubble story here for you. And let me show you where you're going, because many of you out there are saying, my God, my house is inflating. It is going up in value. You don't use the word inflate. It's going up in value. See? At the rate of 10, 15, 20% a year. Well, my God, if I just hang on to my home, why, my problems are going to be solved. Well, let me show you, boys and girls, that that's a fool's dream. And here's why. Listen up. The Daily Reckoning presents in Squanderville, in the midst of real estate mania, Americans are ready and willing to believe anything, that their homes will always rise in value, that their debt will never catch up with them, and that the American empire is unshakable. Bill Bonner wonders what will happen when reality sets in. The heat came down on London yesterday like a hot iron. It took the wrinkles out, leaving the whole city as flat and limp as an old pair of pants. We were walking along the river in Southwark and sat down on one of the benches looking out towards Charing Cross Station on the other bank. The water was low. Everyone outside shuffled along like a sluggish tide. Lines formed to get into restaurants. Strollers bumped into each other. Out on the river, a party was taking place on one of the tourist boats. The sounds of a jazz saxophone floated down the river like litter. All of a sudden, we felt the same odd sensation that we recall from the late 90s. It's the Fin Debubble feeling. That too many people were enjoying themselves a little bit too much. So we sat down at a sidewalk cafe where you have to serve yourself. The two of us each had a salad and a glass of white wine. The bill came to £26. Now that's nearly $50 in American money. £26, $50. Our modest bachelor pad in a nearby building costs over $3,000 a month. Elizabeth is looking for an apartment, and she believes that the apartment is going to cost $15,000 per month to move the whole family to London. Now, where do people get so much money? Did you get these numbers? $50 for lunch, that's two salads and two glasses of wine, $3,000 a month for a bachelor pad, and $15,000 a month to move the whole family to London. Where do people get this kind of money? But that, too, is a typical Fin Debubble hallucination. That money will always be there when you need it, because it always has been in the past. Americans have delusions of mediocrity. This is a point that we've made before, and we're here to make it again, because the things that were extraordinary a year ago are even more extraordinary now. Things that would have been taken for absurd a generation ago are now taken for granted. Of course, that's the way things are. Absurdity has now given way to generality. As a bubble expands, the celebration that began as a little cocktail reception turns into a wild party, with guests dancing on the tables and throwing up outside. Soon, it gets out of hand. At the end of a bubble, the delusions and distortions swell up to grotesque proportions. People seem ready to believe anything as long as it fits their own fantasies. These hallucinations become so extravagant that they blow up. Now, The Economist, for example, reports, quote, a recent survey of buyers in Los Angeles indicated that they expected their homes to increase in value by a whopping 22% a year over the next decade. This would put the median price per house over $3 million. At current increases in income, the median family will have an income 10 years from now of $54,535. Let me pause here, Mr. Bonner. Let me pause here, make my editorial comment. Now, listeners, boys and girls, do you have your pencils out? Do you have them sharpened on both ends like I told you? Now get your paper out there and let's write this down. If you're living in Los Angeles today and you have a median income, median, you know what median means? That means that you're making the amount of money that half of the people in the country are making more and half the people are making less. And right now, today, it's about $41,000. Now, if you're making $41,000 a year, you're at what we call the median income level. That's just average. Half the people in the country make less than that, and half the people in the country make more than that. You're right in the middle. Median income, $41,000. Divide that by 2,000 hours a year. You're making $20.50 an hour. If you're making $20.50 an hour, you're at median. That's where you have to be just to be average. If you're making less than that, you're not average. If you're making more than that, you're doing a little better than average. You following that? Okay. Now, remember the core rate, the CPI that we talked about in the last couple of programs? You mean how the Department of Labor, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics is lying to you? And it gets worse. If you're on Social Security or you're on your pension fund or you're retired, it's even worse than that because you're not getting $41,000 a year. And the CPI is giving you this 3% increase in wages, 3% increase in your Social Security check, 3% increase over your contract, but inflation has taken 12%. And you people expect 22% a year increase in the value of your homes. Now stop and think here for a minute, boys and girls. They tell us inflation is 3%. If inflation is 3%, then why is your house going up in value at 22%? If inflation is 3%, shouldn't the value of your house be going up at 3% a year? And if your wages are going up 3% a year, shouldn't the price of gasoline and taxes and the real estate and food and all the things that you buy be going up at the same rate at 3%? So on the one hand, the fantasy is that our real estate investments are going to go up by a whopping 20%. Inflation is only 3%. Boy, are we getting rich. My God, boys and girls, if you believe that, boy, have I got some stuff to sell you, including bridges in New York and watches and all kinds of good stuff. That's why Bonner's saying, you know, you people are living in a fantasy world over here. Now let's do the arithmetic. How is a family 10 years from now earning $55,000 a year going to buy a $3 million house? Huh? You know, this house that's going to go up in value 20% a year that you own today, you're going to sell it 10 years from now, and you're going to sell it for a whopping $3 million. Median price house. This house is going to be going for $3 million. But wages are only going up at the CPI rate, remember? 3% a year. $55,000 is what this family's going to be making. Now let's do the math. How is a family that's earning $55,000 a year going to buy a $3 million house? Even if the whole thing were financed at 5%, it would still mean monthly payments of $12,500, or nearly three times the total monthly earnings. How can that happen? Well, no, boys and girls, it is close enough to impossible that it can smell what it had for dinner. And only a fool is going to bet on that kind of an outcome. And yet, it appears that millions of people in America not only take the wager, they're staking their entire financial futures on this kind of insane economics. Now, on the front page of today's Daily Mail is a story about a man who convinced people that he was a spy and that they were in danger and that they needed him for protection from terrorists. He then took money from his victims. He stole nearly $2 million by one guess. In such circumstances, explained a professor from the University of Birmingham, captors can wield immense power over their victims, who will do almost anything to please them. One of his victims, a young man, even allowed himself to be beaten regularly so that he would toughen up. In another context, the man could be running for president of the United States or perhaps FBI director. The game is the same, persuading people that they are in real and great danger from terrorists and terrorism and getting them to hand over their money and their liberty. But the poor fellow was a lone operator. He was a freelancer. He was an amateur in the protection racket, and he botched his business and now faces a long stay in prison. Now the real pros are still at it with their own war on terror hustle. And we remind you, dear listener, of the big picture. You see, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the American imperators needed a new enemy. The nation faced no substantial military threat, so the best they could come up with was a shadowy enemy called terrorists. The trouble was, there were barely enough real terrorists to fill a small movie theater. And they needed more terrorists to provide us with a credible reason to spend hundreds of billions of dollars and to continue to expand the empire. The core business of an empire, after all, is protection. In the final analysis, it's called a protection racket. But it only works if you have something to protect against. Now, in New York, a guy walks into your little business and he says, "Would you like to buy protection?" And you say, "No." And a guy says, "Well, you see the little cleaning establishment down the street that burned down last week? He didn't have protection, and the store burned. And if you don't have protection at the rate of about $500 a week, your store is going to burn down. Don't you think you really need this protection?" And sure enough, if you don't buy this protection, your store burns down. It gets firebombed or something bad happens. And the guy comes back, he says, "Say, I told you, you needed protection." Now, we call that a protection racket. When governments do this, we call it law and order. When the mafia does it, we call it a racket. When government does it, we call it law and order. Now, the core business of an empire, after all, is protection. It's a protection racket, and it only works if you have something to protect against. So it was developed, this war against Iraq, this war on terror, a country with no terrorists, and they had no apparent connection to the terrorists. In fact, since the Gulf War, Iraq, which had been once a client state of the United States, had been a hotbed of peace. Still, attacking Iraq seemed like a good idea at the time. And since then, the results have been predictably bad for Americans, but good for the empire. And as reported in today's Daily Mail, The Iraq war is spawning a new breed of ruthless holy warriors, says the CIA. In other words, the strategy is working. Terrorists are now multiplying by the thousands. Iraq has become a terrorist hotbed. You know, 10 years ago, we couldn't have found enough terrorists in the world to fill a movie theater. Today, we've got tens of thousands of terrorists. And one of these days, those terrorists in Iraq are going to get unleashed upon the United States and England and France and everybody else in the world, and then we're going to have local terrorism attacks. You can't have that today because you don't have enough of them. But, you know, if we keep producing more terrorists, pretty soon we'll have enough that we can export them from Iraq around the world. Now, many are expected to be carrying out attacks in Western Europe, according to the report, while others will return to their native countries in the Middle East, particularly Saudi Arabia, where it is believed they will attempt to destabilize national governments. The report, which has gone to the White House, concludes that Iraq is serving as a real-world laboratory for urban combat. We Americans call that laboratory, but over in England, you people call that laboratory. Now, Iraq had never seen a suicide bombing before the American occupation. Now they're as common as drunks at an English wedding party. The whole country has been turned into a recruitment and training center for terrorists. This is good news for the American empire and the American empire industry. But now it has something to protect against. Now there is a credible threat that we need protection from, terrorists. Now the bad news for the empire is that its business model is nutty. The more protection that it provides, the more money it loses. And that is to say that its homeland supporters become poorer. It must be galling for those few who understand what's really going on. They lose money minting terrorists in Iraq, and then they lose money again by fighting those terrorists in Iraq. Those are called American taxpayers. But there's a certain point that the logic of a bubble, whether in markets or in politics, is the logic of self-destruction. America is in a self-destruction mode. People do stranger and stranger things, not because they're trying to avoid their own ruin, but because they are trying to bring upon this ruin upon themselves. Now, the Daily Mail is a wealth of grist for our mill today. Elsewhere in the paper is the story of Mr. Mark McDonald, age 43, of Norfolk. The poor man suffered what the paper called death by credit. And like your editor, the man was a writer. And like your editor, he was not particularly well paid. But unlike your editor, he had a great number of credit cards. His debt rose to about $120,000, on which he made the minimum payments as long as he was able. But the burden of the credit card debt got to be too great, and the father of two decided that he would rather place himself on the rails in front of the 709 to London instead of remaining in the ranks of those living with enormous, unsustainable debt levels. Now, Mr. McDonald's death was the fifth known suicide due to debt in the past 2 years, says the Daily Mail. McDonald's wife blasted the credit industry. They're just interested in making money, said the woman. But who isn't? And five suicides in 2 years seems like a small price to pay for the benefits of unlimited consumer credit. Think how it boosts the economy. Besides, the whole empire rests on nothing more than the sand of credit. The entire U.S. military budget, great as it is still less than the amount of net lending to America in consumer credit. Without loans from overseas, the empire itself, as we know it, is finished. Now, the Daily News report had a certain Fendi bubble tone to it. Twice as many people are calling for credit. Twice as many people are calling for credit counseling. And the paper noted that this is year over year, twice as many people this year than last year. 25,000 picked up the phone last month. For every decisive writer like McDonald, there must be thousands of wishy-washy plumbers and dough makers who can't make up their minds. They muddle through in hoping that their debts will never catch up with them. Bill Bonner, The Daily Reckoning. All right, I'm giving you the bad news. Because you got to understand what the hell's going on around us before we can figure out, well, what should we be doing about it? Now, there's another guy that's pretty funny. His name is Mugombo, and you can get the Mugombo report, and I think you can get Bonner. Let me give you Bill Bonner again. Go to kitco.com and look for Fendi Bubble 2005 by Bill Bonner. I think you can probably get it directly from Bill Bonner, The Daily Reckoning, one of these right-wing reactionary, right-wing fanatics telling you that, hey, listen, things aren't quite as good as CBS and NBC are telling you. Now, this guy, the Mugombo, Richard Doughty, D-A-U-G-H-T-Y, the Mugombo Guru, June 29th, 2005. Hey, listen, he's got a little subtitle down here. It says thedailyreckoning.com. I just wonder if you could, maybe you have to go to dailyreckoning.com to get on Kitco. I don't know. I'm kind of computer illiterate here, but these reports come across my desk. They come off of our computer here, and our computer man brings them in here, and I'm just reading the paper itself. Look at kitco.com, K-I-T-C-O. And then /IND/Doughty, D-A-U-G-H-T-Y, and you can get it. And maybe you can also get it from www.dailyreckoning.com. Anyway, here's what Mugombo has to say. It's worth your time, effort, and energy. And I'm giving you these conservative newsletters to read. so that you can get a handle on how the government's lying to you, number one, and where this is all leading, because 12% inflation, boys and girls, is a little bit more than the 3% being advertised. And remember, they're not even adding in housing. That 22% a year that we were just talking about, hell, they don't even add that in. That's not in the consumer price index. So if you don't drive a car, don't buy gasoline, don't eat, don't pay taxes, and don't live in a house, I suppose inflation's not a problem to you. But, you know, to ordinary Joe Sixpacks like me, that has to pay a property tax, and, you know, you've got your bills that have to be paid, and one thing and another, all of these costs that aren't in the CPI index or the PPI, the producer index, all come out of my standard of living. And that's what we're really talking about here, is your standard of living. Now, Dottie, the Mogambo guru, as he calls himself, is primarily interested in inflation. And he says, I'm in full lockdown mode here at the Mogambo bunker. And I got to tell you that I look pretty sharp in my camouflage Speedo and these bandoliers of ammo across my chest. The reason that I'm so frantic is that the growth in the total Fed credit has gone to zero for over a month now. This is, for me, the ultimate in bad news. The lack of growth in Fed credit is bad news because, as Peter Zillman of P. Zillman Investments explains, quote, the present expansion is the longest running expansion on record. It has surpassed all other economic expansions before it. The driving force behind it is the rapid growth of the money supply and the explosion of credit that has accompanied it. Many people are saying that the money supply is anemic too, but that's not exactly true. In fact, M3 has accelerated over the last month above its trend for the last few years, although the monetary base has pretty much leveled off. Hold it, boys and girls, I got to make my editorial comment. The money supply in 1987 was $3 trillion. By 2000, it had grown, by 1987, it was $3 trillion. By the year 2000, it had grown to $9 trillion. By the end of 2005, they're in hopes of increasing the money supply to $13 trillion. All right, now, boys and girls, here's your test question. If the money supply was at $3 trillion in 1987 and it goes to $13 trillion, what's the value of a quarter in $2005? Well, let's try it. Take 13 and divide that by 4. And don't you get 3.25? Okay. Because 3, 6, 9, 12, they're going to increase the money supply by 4 times, aren't they? Well, then, wouldn't your money be worth about 3.25% less, or 325% less? Or put another way, a dollar in 1987 is going to have a quarter's worth of value left at the end of 2005 if they succeed in their goal. Now, can you see where inflation is? Now, 1987 wasn't all that long ago. I mean, you know, you're talking about 18 years, but, you know, 18 years comes and goes. And that's what Dottie is trying to tell you. He's telling you that your pension fund, you know, that money that you're putting into your pension fund, you United Airlines workers, today, well, 25 years from now, if inflation continues at the same rate that it's been going over the last 18 years, you're going to be putting in dollars today and taking out quarters then. Is that really what you want to do? Now somebody says, yeah, but they're paying interest on it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I showed you here the last program or two that the interest that's being paid and the purchasing power that's being lost gives you a net loss, so that every dollar that you're putting into your pension plan, every dollar that you're getting in your pay envelope today is buying less tomorrow, next year, and 5 years from now. So the solution is you got to take those dollars today and get rid of them today in order to get your full purchasing power today. Because if you take $100 and put it in the bank, stocks, bonds, or some other form of negotiable instruments, you're going to lose your shirt. And that's why people are investing in real estate, because of these humongous gains that I just showed you a few minutes ago. These humongous gains over the next 10 years are impossible to sustain. Now, where does that leave you and me? I mean, you know, some of us out here are mechanics and truck drivers. Some of us out here actually have to work for a living, and we actually have to pay our bills, pay our debts, and make ends meet. Well, hang on here. We'll take a break, give you a couple of reminders, and we'll be back with more on the housing tip of the day, the Mogambo Guru, when we come back. Remember, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about The Law Hour and The Law School, please go to the website georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archive. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on economics, law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, the website, or you can call direct 417-273-4967. I guess I ought to give you a little more reminder here. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications endorse the Law Hour. And that's because most of the authors in the publication cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour or editorial review either. All right, now the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, so don't blame the Mogambo, and do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers either, or of the sponsors, management, or staff of this network or radio station. So don't blame any of those people, just blame me. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email, send an email request, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about subsistence and survival. Put another way, the economic bubble. How are we going to subsist? How are we going to survive this banana republic hyperinflation that is now descending upon us? Well, since 1987, the Federal Reserve has expanded the money supply, at least they hope to get this project accomplished. They're expanding the money supply to $13 trillion by the end of 2005. That's 6 months away, six more months. They're not quite there yet, but they're working hard. So Richard Doty, the Mogambo, writes a newsletter every week, comes out on Wednesday. You can get it off of kitco.com. I recommend that you get his June 29th, 2005. This is 6-29-05 newsletter called the Mogambo Housing Tip of the Day. But if there really, he goes on to say, but if there is really no rapid growth in the money supply and there's no explosion in new credit, then the longest running expansion in history must be just that, history. It's over. That's bad news. Gary Lammert, who is a practitioner of fractal analysis, writes that even when there is money and credit being pumped out, there's nothing to guarantee that the money will be spent on anything useful. But without the growing money supply flowing into investments for the production of real and useful items that can be sold in a competitive manner to the global markets, the generated economic activity may be malinvested into cul-de-sacs of domestic services, speculative financial assets, and purely domestic production items such as housing construction, unquote. So the money may be thrown down some rat hole or another, such as stocks or bonds or houses. Now, every great economic cycle, he goes on to say, has a recognizable, usually in retrospective, apogee, an inflection point, or day where the markets peak and then begin their primary descent. Now, while the primary cause of this inflection point in major economic cycles is a decelerating rate of growth, money supply, prior to an actual contracting of the money supply, the inciting composite elements of that decelerating money supply are a combination of fundamental, evolving feedback conditions occurring in the real economy at the consumer level. Put in layman's terms, the poop is about to hit the fan. Now, at the consumer level, ongoing wages, consumer debt load, forward consumption status, and projected job status, dependent on near-term production needs, all factor into the deceleration of borrowing and hence the money supply. In short, sometimes people are already so far in debt that they don't want to take on any more damn debt and then have to listen to their wives or husbands whining and complaining that they can't afford to eat as it is, and borrowing more damn money to buy another damn mechanism or machine gun is just plain crazy. Some people have called this the puke point, unquote. All right, now that's the Mogambo, the puke point. And if that wasn't enough, at the last week, or in the last week, foreigners have suddenly stopped buying our debt through their accounts at the Fed, and the banks have suddenly divested themselves of $74 billion in government debt, $74 billion in 1 week, one lousy week. And the banks got rid of another $12 billion in other securities to boot. Well, the only bright spot, if you want to call it that, is that mortgage activity in the banks took a big jump, as usual, meaning that the only thing that's selling well is the ultimate in humongosity expensive, let me see if I can pronounce that again, Mogambo, humongously expensive, I got it now, humongously expensive, time-consuming, time-productive things or non-productive things, namely houses. Now, left to its own devices, the economy would, under normal circumstances, drift into a little recession, the excesses would be cleaned out, and the stupid businesses, that is, the dumb businesses, the only kind that will hire me, the Mogambo, would all go under, and the mismanaged businesses would all go under, freeing up resources of all kinds, and the busted people who acted like idiots would all be swearing that they would never, ever, 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 if they ever, ever got their hands on another dime, they will never, 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 ever act so stupid with it again so long as they live. Cross my heart and hope to die. And for a while, people will try and save some money and make do without things they want, and savings would grow, and pent-up demand would grow, and one day, someday, for reasons that nobody can actually enumerate, things get a little better, and then they get a little more better, and then a little better and better, and then better and better and better and better, and then after a while, the economy is perking again, only slightly different since there are no more stupid businesses or mismanaged businesses stinking up the joint. But these are not normal times, boys and girls. These are not normal times. The cover of Barron's this week with the headline, "When Will He Stop?" should convince you of that. The illustration is of Alan Greenspan pumping up a balloon with a bicycle pump. The balloon, emblazoned with 4%, is leaking air. The article inside by Randall W. Forsyth, who was one of the assistant managing editors of Barron's, wrote the cover story. He entitled it The Leaky Balloon, with the subhead Greenspan's End Game. The story itself is nothing, as the whole purpose of that particular newspaper is to get people to buy stocks and bonds and other commercial paper, and it would irritate advertisers to even suggest that everything was not wonderful or not normal, or that there were some hints of problems, or even hint that today is not the perfect time to buy stocks and lots of them. So it's not surprising that it does not even mention the cause of our problems, our inflation problems, which is an out-of-control Federal Reserve and the resultant enormous levels of staggering, stultifying, smothering debt in every freaking corner of the world. So how insightful can it be? Well, the article does contain a helpful suggestion as to where the next stimulus is going to be. And he quotes Independent Strategy, a London-based consultancy company, as saying, quote, there is a paucity of corporate spending the U.S. and the rest of the developed world, unquote. What? If this is true, and hell, even if it isn't true, then you can count on Congress to pass some more tax incentives to encourage businesses to spend. And since more deductions, which only means that the business does not have to pay tax on the money that they spent, are insufficient, look for tax credits where the business gets actual cash from the government. Where are they going to get the actual cash from the government? From you, stupid. Spend a buck, get some, if not all of your money back. Talk about an economic stimulus. Well, perhaps this explains an article in the Washington Post, which was entitled, quote, The Road to Riches, is called K Street, and it informs us that the number of registered lobbyists in Washington, D.C. has, get this, has, since 2000, when George Bush came to power, more than doubled, and the fees they charge their clients have doubled. So we now have twice as many lobbyists that are now charging twice as much money so that they can get twice as many laws enacted to, oh, yes, to do what? To line the pockets of business with more and more tax dollars at more and more government expense. And why this sudden lobbying activity? Well, the Post explains the lobbying boom has been caused by three factors, experts say. Rapid growth in government, Republican control of both the White House and Congress, and wide acceptance among corporations that they need to hire professional lobbyists to secure their share of the federal benefits. Well, boys and girls, don't these federal benefits come from your taxes? Or don't these federal benefits come from the bonds that are being sold and that you are the underwriters, the guarantors of all of this massive government debt for the benefit of these multinational corporations? I mean, can you tell me how this is benefiting you working on the assembly line or driving that truck or baking that pie at home? You know, Jane Sixpack. Well, Patrick J. Griffin, who is identified as President Bill Clinton's top lobbyist, says that the clients of lobbyists see that they can win things, that there's something to be gained. It's this next part that caused me to spew beer out of my nose. Washington has become a profit center, like this is news or something. But it is news because of the sudden sheer size of the money that's now involved. As the article in Barron's went on to chronicle how the Republicans have sold out, becoming as loathsome now as the Democrats, only better dressed, when they write, the Republicans in charge aren't just pro-business, they're also pro-government. Federal outlays increased nearly 30% from 2000 to 2004 to $2.29 trillion. And despite the budget deficit, federal spending is set to increase again this year, especially in programs that are prime lobbying targets, such as defense, homeland security, and medical coverage. In short, things to kill people, things to spy on people, and socialized medicine. Terrific. Just freaking terrific. Now remember, this is the Magombo Guru. You can get this newsletter, by the way, off of kitco.com and probably from thedailyreckoning.com. www.dailyreckoning.com. This guy Magombo also has an address. Shucks, you might be able to get it directly from him. Let me turn over here to the last page. You know, I can't cover the whole newsletter. Now let's see, the Magombo Guru, e-economic newsletter. Richard Doty, the angriest guy in economics. 9241 54th Street North, Pinellas Park, Florida, 33782. He's got a telephone. He's got a telephone. The number is 727-546-5568. Why don't you call him and tell him George Gordon sent you? Would you do that? 727-546-5568. I mean, if that doesn't make him mad, nobody can make him mad. Now, let's see. What else he got down here? It says www.kitco.com/ind-dotty, D-A-U-G-H-T-Y. Printer friendly slash, I mean, there's a lot of numbers and stuff down here. I think if you just flipped on kitco.com, you could get this Magombo Guru newsletter. Now, here's the thrust of our story here today. I showed you Rackbacher, and Kurt Rackbacher, I think it is, and Bill Bonner, and now the Magombo Guru, And from time to time, you know, I cut in and I give you a little piece or two from the mind of Robert Chapman and so on, to impress upon you boys and girls that everything that's going on out there is not peaches and cream and it's not roasty toasty. That's number one. And I thought that Bonner really hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, if you people actually, honest to God, believe that the house price, you know, the price of your house is going to go up, 20% a year, and that you're just going to get rich off of it, you're not going to make any money off of that house unless you're going to sell it. It's a net loss to you because your property taxes are going up, which means that as your property taxes go up, you got to have bigger and bigger wage increases to pay the higher and higher property taxes. And then this real estate that you're cashing in on, remember all this valuable real estate that everybody's so excited about? It costs more and more money to keep up because now the roof leaks and it costs more money to put the roof on than it did 5, 10, 15 years ago. It costs more money to put carpet in, costs more money to replace the dishwasher. And now the Chinese are coming over here and they say they're going to buy out Maytag. And then they say they want to buy out Unical and they got $600 billion over. You know, pretty soon we're all going to be working for the Chinese. And the upshot of that is, do you think the Chinese are your friends? I mean, the communist Chinese in mainland China, do you think those guys are your friends? Well, later on, we'll take a look at Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. I'll show you what our God had to say about us inviting all these strangers into our land. The stranger that's among you shall rise up high above you and bring you down very low. That's one of his statements in Deuteronomy 28. Gets worse as you read on, but I don't want to shock you with shock and awe. Not too much, too fast. I just want to introduce you to the concept that there's some problems out there that need to be solved. In fact, in Bible prophecy, there's 64 of these problems that need to be solved, but I'm not going to burden you with all 64. I'm just going to burden you, you know, with 4 or 5 of them and then suggest to you that, well, gosh, you think maybe you need a solution. Well, now, Peter Schiff, this is the Mugambro, and he's quoting another guy by the name of Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital, is watching the clueless halfwits that comprise our Congress getting all bent out of shape with China, and is laughing that these losers want the Treasury Secretary and Alan Greenspan, of all people, to do something about how China is unfair. He writes, quote, "The scene is straight out of Alice in Wonderland. It's hard to fathom how these congressmen can be so clueless, so ignorant, as to the extent that China subsidizes the U.S. economy and directly finances the very budget deficits that these spendthrifts in Congress so irresponsibly vote to produce." But it gets worse. It gets worse, Schiff says, as he notes by writing, quote, "In fact, short of a formal declaration of war, the single most damaging thing that China could do to America is exactly what our politicians are demanding that the Chinese do to us. What is even more ironic is that giving in to these demands is also the best thing that China could do to improve the lives of China's own citizens. So in short, China is being very, very nice to us at the expense of its own citizens, as a stronger one would allow them to import things at lower cost, and yet this is not enough for Congress in general, and that arch moron, John Kerry, in particular. And it still burns my smelly butt that the idiotic Democrats nominated this loser to be president of the United States." Hang on, boys and girls, and let's think for a second. Remember, we were talking about education, and we were talking about this Volksschule in Germany, and how the people were about one half of 1% were taught to think, 6% were taught to think a little bit, and 92% were taught not to think at all. Now, here's the Chinese over here, and the Chinese have about 1.3 billion people living on a piece of real estate roughly the size of the United States, about 3.5 million square miles. And these 1.3 billion people over there live in very degrading poverty. I mean, these are poor people. And they're trying to raise themselves out of this poverty by working real hard for us Americans by making all of these goods for us at slave labor prices. And we're just buying all this stuff up, and they're saving their nickels and dimes and pennies. And in the process, they've now saved about $600 billion worth of these nickels, dimes, and pennies. So our Congress goes over and says, okay, we want you to raise the value of your yuan against the dollar. That way, that will ease our balance of payments deficit. But at the same time that they're talking about raising the value of this yuan over here, it's going to destabilize the entire world economic system. And that $600 billion, what we're in effect telling the Chinese is that we want you to devalue the $600 billion that we owe you to about $400 billion. We want you to write off about one-third of the amount of money, the amount of claim checks that you have against us. Now, honest to God, boys and girls, do you believe that those people are going to do that? Let me ask you this. Let's suppose that your bank comes to you and says, look, you've got $600 in the bank, and we want you to write that down to $400 because we're unable to pay all of our depositors what we owe them. So we want you to just devalue your $600 in savings down to $400. That's what causes runs on banks. That's what's going to cause these Chinese to spend their $600 billion. And they're already starting to say, hey, listen, give us Unical. Give us Maytag. You think that that's good for us, boys and girls? Well, John McKenzie of the M2 newsletter reports that the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, that's the OECD, the representative body of the richest 26 countries in the world, announced that it is sharply reducing its forecast for every leading economy. Sharply reducing the forecast for every economy of the 26 leading economies in the world. Come on, boys and girls. I'm giving you the underground newsletter here. You didn't hear this on MSNBC, and you're not going to. Didn't read this in the Wall Street Journal, and you're not going to. And it gets worse because we're headed into an economic collapse. This economic collapse that we've been predicting for the last 30 years is now upon us. God, I'm glad it took 30 years to get here because it gave me a little time to prepare. And you better hope that you got another year or two to prepare for it because it's already beginning to unfold. So we'll take a look at Bible prophecy as it relates to what the Magombo and Bill Bonner and Robert Chapman and Kurt Rockenbacher has to say about what's actually going on in our economy and how this is going to impact upon you, Sally Housewife and Joe Sixpack. You know, all of us blue-collar guys out here, you know. I'm not the Bill Gates of the world. I'm not one of the Warren Buffetts. So what do us little guys down here at the bottom of the heap, you know, as taxpayers down here, the guys that are being put upon by this CPI and all these other lies that come out of our government, what are we going to do to cushion this inevitable bust? And the answers are right in front of us. And tomorrow, we're going to start with the answers. And I'm going to start with a guy back in 1973 named Howard J. Ruff wrote a book called Famine and Survival in America. Famine in America. That's what Moses told us. Famine's coming to America. He told us that in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. And then there's a story in here called Beginner's Guide to Family Preparedness, written by Rosalie Mason. And there's hundreds of these books out there. I just want to pick up two or three of them here. There's another one here, Don't Get Caught with Your Pantry Down. Not pants, but pantry down. How to Find Preparedness Resources for the Unexpected as Well as the Expected. And we'll take a look at subsistence and survival from the perspective of Joe Sixpack, the truck driver. Not Warren Buffett, the multi-billionaire who goes out and buys 100 million ounces of silver and stashes it over in England, or the Bill Gates has got $30 or $40 billion and has given away $1 billion this year or something like that. But what do truck drivers and housewives and factory workers do, forklift drivers, etc., to protect themselves from these inevitable depression periods like the 1930s or the hyperinflation period in Germany in the 1920s? What do we do? Is there a solution? Well, believe it or not, Bible prophecy tells you that, yeah, there is a solution. God himself says, yep, there's some solutions to this. All right, I'm about out of time. I got to wrap it up right now, and we'll come back tomorrow, and we'll take a look here at this problem of subsistence and survival in Global 2000 and the New World Order. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, economics, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Well, that's it. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, good night, friends.